about you. If you're visiting with me for the first time, then this is what we do. A lot of pastors open their services in different ways. Some open with prayer. Some opens with scripture reading. I open with this little saying. You'll know exactly what you're in for, if you want to say it that way, what I believe as a pastor and what I preach today. So with your Bibles, if you've got your Bibles with you, or holy mobiles, wherever you got your Bibles, you ready? This is my Bible, God's holy word. A lamp unto my feet. A light into my path. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It is authoritative. It is more powerful than any sharp two-edged sword. It is fire shut up in my bones. I must speak it. It is food for my soul. I'm ready to receive it. Now, before you sit down, if you want to welcome someone here today, do so. Again, if they don't want to be touched and kind of honor their wish, I know we're still kind of way past COVID, but it gets interesting sometimes with that. Okay, as you're seated, turn into the book of Luke as we continue this sermon series. Dr. David Jeremiah, it's the title of the theme of the series is called Why the Nativity. Dr. David Jeremiah kind of shared this with all the churches that wanted to use it any way we wanted to use it. And it kind of sets a theme and it answers these questions, obviously the theme being why the Nativity. Last week we looked at why Joseph. And the biggest thing we saw with Joseph, he was available. You know, you remember the bottom line was last week, what it was? In other words, God uses the ordinary to do extraordinary things. So here was Joseph. You think about the story after the birth and so on, he kind of fades off the scene. But you know that he was responsible for raising Jesus as Jesus' earthly father. We don't see him at the crucifixion. They believe by this time that Joseph has probably passed on based on how the narrative works out there. So as we switch now, we start looking at his future bride. Why Mary? Why Mary? So Mary, a little bottom line we can use with her, is three characteristics of godliness is illustrated in Mary's life. Three characteristics of godliness illustrated in Mary's life. Now let me share this little video with you, and then we'll jump right into the sermon, okay?
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel,
"But how can this be, since I know not a man?"
And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Then Mary said,
"Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word."
And the angel departed from her.
Mary's life getting ready to change forever. Look with me now, like I said, in the book of Luke, as we look at this first chapter of the book of Luke, beginning down around verse 28. Let me open with this, and you heard it in the video. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are," and I want you to hear this, "highly favored." the Lord is with you. Every person in the Bible has their story in the Bible, not so that we can learn about them particularly, but to learn from their walk with God. There is much to be learned from Mary. So as we look at these three bullet points and we learn the lessons that she can teach us how to be godly, how to be more like Jesus, if you want to say it that way. But let's begin. The first thing that Mary teaches us is how to submit. How to submit. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. There, Dr. Luke sets it in historical context. In other words, he wants you to know, if you're reading the story, that there's already been a miracle take place. The lady described here in verse 26 is Elizabeth, which they believe is Mary's cousin. She's pregnant. And anyone knows the story, she was well past the age of that even being possible. So that was a miracle within itself. She eventually delivers John the Baptist, who was the announcer, the forerunner for Jesus Christ. Verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Verse 27, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now think about this. Mary was a young, poor female. All the characteristics of someone you probably wouldn't use for a story like this. They believe that she could have been anywhere between 12 to 15 years old at the time. She's getting ready to receive an announcement that's going to change her life forever. You heard last week when we talked about Joseph that she was pledged to be married to Joseph. And you remember what I said last week, the greatest things probably about the first century weddings is the parents got to arrange them. You know, I'd love to arrange some of my kids' weddings and pick their people that they married. So when it was arranged, a lot of times the kids didn't even know it. And then when the contract was signed between the two families, you heard last week, there's a year's probation that goes into place. In other words, Mary's kind of watched for that year. And in that year's time, they have very little social interaction with each other. Joseph is busy building a home, getting things ready for Mary. And then at the end of the year, they have a wedding that lasts 7 days. Now, can you imagine that? I get bored at a wedding in 2 hours. And they went 7 days with a wedding. So the interesting thing about everything I shared with you is this. They were legally married even though they haven't consummated a marriage yet. For a solid year, they're still legally married, and the only way they can be separated is by a divorce. Look what the angels, verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled. Now, I don't know about you, it's probably a mild way to describe if an angel appeared to me. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Verse 30, and I'm using the NIV. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Notice that's the second time we hear that word favor. Earlier it was highly favored. Now be careful with it. Mark Lyre likes to joke and says she still headlines in the Catholic Church today, meaning Mary. But the idea is she is just an everyday, ordinary girl. She didn't come the third person, the fourth person in the Trinity. She's just someone that was submissive, someone that had faith in God, someone was ready to do God's will, no matter what the circumstances were, no matter what problem was going to be for her by doing it, she was ready to totally give in to what God wanted. Even though it didn't make human sense to her, she understood that the submission for godliness. You know, interesting thing to think about this, if let me read this quote. It said, "You may feel that your ability, experience, or education makes you unlikely candidate for God's service." Let me read that again. "You may feel like your ability, experience, or education makes you an unlikely candidate for God's service." Now listen to this. Don't limit God's choices. He can use you if you trust Him. The worst words in the English language is, I can't do it. I can't do it. If you get rid of those words, can you imagine what you could accomplish if you just replaced it with whatever needs to be done, whatever needs to be done, whatever needs to be done? The news for the submission, or the test of her submission to God's will for her life, now we see in verse 31. In other words, now the news is coming. What's getting ready to happen to her in verse 31? The angel says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Verse 32. He will be great. Listen to the description the angel gives. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Verse 33. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, ladies, she obviously has probably been instructed by her mother what's really necessary to be pregnant. So right about this time, we know that she's a virgin. We know that she's engaged to Joseph. She just gets an announcement that she's going to have a baby. What would be some of your questions? Now think about it. This is first century. This is not today. When I'm talking about first century, for her to be pregnant meant that she could be stoned to death. She could be ostracized from her community. Joseph had all reason to divorce her and turn her away. She just got news that she's getting ready to have a baby, and she knows good and well that she hasn't been around Joseph. How would you respond? Ain't no way. Get out of here. Ain't going to happen. I'm not going to be embarrassed that way. She asked a question in verse 34. She said, how will this be? Now, that's not a statement of unbelief. That's more of a statement of confusion. If you look at the original Greek, it's kind of implying, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's not biologically possible. But we know from Genesis 3:15 that this day was going to come. Because even Genesis 3:15, God said there that Jesus would come of the woman's seed. Now, anybody who knows reproduction knows that it's not the woman's seed. Verse 35. Well, let me go back to 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? Verse 35. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then she says, the angel kind of gives her a reassurance, because now when you get down to verse 36, the angel says, even Elizabeth, who Mary knows because she's her relative, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Kind of a reassurance, you think? Now, she has a choice right about now, don't you think? She can either say, I had a bad dinner, meaning we're this angel. I can't, this is like a bad dream. It can't happen. She could basically just walk away and forget about the whole thing. Remember what I said? She's got a lot to lose here, folks. She could be shunned or murdered. She's definitely going to be divorced. Her family's going to ostracize her, if they even let her live. She's 12 to 14 years old. Can you imagine the other girls in her high school class? She's got a big decision. Probably a bigger decision than a lot of us will ever have. When we're walking through that valley full of tragedy, we can either understand that Jesus is the rock at the bottom of that tragedy, or we can run. This God, who can believe this God, let this happen to me? But yet, Mary didn't do that. Mary responded in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left. Remember the song that we just heard by Mark Lowry? Mary, did you know? Think about that. Ponder that for a second, ladies. You think when she had that baby that she understood that she was holding God? Remember when Joseph and Mary, they went to the temple every year to church? Jesus decided one year he's going to stay back in the temple. And they started heading back home and all of a sudden said, where's Jesus? So Mary and Joseph went back to Jerusalem. For 3 days they searched for Jesus, a young kid, probably around 11 or 12 himself at the time. Can you imagine if you've ever been in a mall and all of a sudden lose sight of one of your kids for a brief second? You remember that feeling? When they found Jesus in the temple, he said, Mom, Dad, you know I should be in about my father's business. And Mary was kind of chastised a little bit. But the scripture kind of says that he turns around and he submits to them 100% after that. The interesting thing, you never hear a lot about Jesus when he was young. There's a lot of extra biblical literature that says that he raised a dead frog. You know, and they got all kinds of things about he made a butterfly appear. There's all kinds of biblical literature. There's a lot of stuff that talks about him. Matter of fact, it's even said that Mary was raped by a Roman guard. And they just tried to cover it up. Today we look at it as like the virgin birth. You know, Debbie and I was talking about this in the car. I think I discovered a sermon series. Next year we're going to do a sermon series on everything in the Bible that doesn't seem to make sense. In other words, 6 days of creation, the Noah's flood, the talking donkey in the Old Testament, when the day stops there, or the land stops there, the birth, the virgin birth of Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. Think about all that. We're educated people. But you know, this is what I know. This book that we carry around is survived, at least the Old Testament survived over 10,000 years or more. The New Testament, they've tried to dispute it, I don't know how many times. They say, well, you know those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they contradict each other, so on and so forth. They've got to do everything they can to make the Word be distorted. Oh, we've even got religions that'll go in there and change it. Well, you know that virgin birth story, we'll just take that out of there. How about that same-sex marriage stuff? We'll just take that out of there, too. We don't need that. You know the whole story of Sodom and Gomorrah? That's about hospitality. That's got nothing to do with, you know, homosexual sin or anything like that. Let's just remove that out of there, too. You know what God says in His Word in the book of Revelations? He says, those who remove a word from here receive double the penalty in eternity. So Mary teaches us the mission for godliness, and then she goes on. Mary teaches us to the surprise of godliness, and there's going to be a surprise there. Mary teaches us not only to the submission of godliness, she teaches us the surprise of godliness. Let me quote from Dr. David Jeremiah about this particular point here. He says, and I quote, the venture of walking with Jesus Christ is the greatest adventure you will ever know on this earth. Heaven will be better, but nothing before that will be. To know that you are related to the King of Kings and the Lord of the Lords, that the Creator of the universe has sent His Son to live within your life, that you have a direct communications to Almighty God, and that you can fellowship with Him, and that He will direct, guide, and strengthen, and be with you, that is truly a great adventure. Listen to this. But it is also full of surprises. Listen again at Mary's words, Luke chapter 1, verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So Mary, to understand the surprise, listen what else is said here to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 18. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary, listen to this. This is what I want you to hear. But Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. You see, like Mary, we do not have a blueprint. Think about this. Like Mary, we do not have a blueprint for our lives or for those of our children. If I did, man, I tell you what, some of the decisions I make, I wouldn't have done it. But number one, if I could control my kids' decisions so they didn't make some of the idiotic things they did, wouldn't it be great? But you know, the interesting thing, we can't control or have a perfect blueprint for their life. But listen to this. But when we submit to the Lord by faith, we discover He always is there for us. He hears our prayers and He meets our needs. You remember I said we have an omnipresent God. And the neat thing about being omnipresent, when I pray to God, I know that He can be with my grandchildren in Ohio and I don't even have to be there. You believe in that kind of God? An omnipresent God that's everywhere all the time, has perfect knowledge, knew that you were going to be here today, ordained it, His sovereign will, His providential direction brought you here today. Mary teaches us the suffering of godliness. You know, when you look at Christmas, and you heard me say it earlier, it's not long until we celebrate Easter. Christmas, December the 24th, and then, of course, depending on how the calendar lays out, March or April, we're going to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there's not long, only like 30-plus years, a little over 30 years of Jesus' life, short ministry. Matter of fact, when you study Jesus' ministry and His disciples, even the missionaries, like, man, He wasn't very successful in His day. But look what He accomplished. Look what He accomplished. So if we want to really kind of learn the idea of suffering, then let's go back and look at Jesus on the cross. So let's skip the cradle and let's go to the cross with Jesus. And you know from the times that you've probably sat through many sermons about the crucifixion, Jesus made 7 distinct statements from the cross as He was dying. Let's look at them. First one was in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them. This is Jesus' prayer. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That is a prayer for all of us. Second word, Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Jesus said to him, surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Remember that story? The thief on the cross beside of him? And Jesus looked at him before the man died and said, today you will be with me in heaven or paradise. Fourth word, Book of Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. In about the 9th hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, if I could even say that correctly. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is a translation. The word of resignation spoken to the Father in heaven. Fifth word, John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, the Scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Sixth word. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, it is finished. He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. the seventh word. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Did you notice I left out the third one? I left out the third one on purpose. Listen what he says from the cross. John chapter 19, verse 26 through 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, now I'm talking about at the foot of the cross as he's being crucified. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, Mary, and the disciple whom he loved standing there, which we know as John, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. You may wonder why that is such a surprising kind of statement. In the last moments of his life here on the earth, he turned his thoughts away from the events and the cross to a concern for his mother. Why? It's quite obvious that Joseph is not around by this time. Jesus more likely was the oldest son. Even though the Catholic Church said Mary never had any other kids, she did. She knew that Mary, without the oldest son to take care of her, would be basically have to beg for food, sell herself as a prostitute. She knew that she needed to be taken care of. She needed to be watched over. And even at the cross, as we saw the teaching of the suffering, even in that moment of suffering, Jesus still reached out in love. Folks, he suffered undescribable pain as a human, the God-man, because of you. That's love. You see, Mary, through the submission, Mary the surprise, and then last, Mary showing us through Jesus' death on the cross, the suffering we may have to go through. Can you say, like Mary said, "God, I'm your servant"? I understand the love that you have for me. I understand the crucifixion. I understand what you did for me. Now, what can I do for you? Can you say that? The creator of the universe, the God that came out of heaven, came to this planet to die for you on a cross. Had to die, born to die, but it had to live as a human too. That's the interesting part. So the question is this, it's posed to you this morning. It's kind of a simple question. Can I produce the video evidence of Mary's virgin birth? No. But I can produce a document where you can rest your faith on. You have a decision to make today. Just like Christmas morning when the presents are there. You can sit and look at the present all day long. But until you get up and pick it up and open it, you'll never receive what's in it. Same with Jesus. Until you accept the gift of Christmas by faith, then you'll start to begin to understand the love that God has for you. You see, it begins at that moment. It doesn't end there. It begins a relationship at that very moment. So in a moment of time, I want to have you to bow your heads. You don't have to come forward or make a decision by coming forward. You can make a decision by Jesus right where you sat. Those who are watching us on Facebook and the other streaming platforms, all you need to do is this. And I'm not going to read the scriptures, but it's there. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can do that right where you're at, by faith. You can do that from wherever you're sitting or watching this on the streaming platforms today. The only thing necessary for you to do today is make a confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I can't do it for you. Coming forward doesn't do it for you. Your faith is what accomplishes it today. Or Christian, maybe you're here today and you kind of been struggling here of late. You went through some dark valleys and some circumstances in your life. Maybe lost a job. Maybe family separation. Maybe family's going through a lot. Maybe you just got bad news from a doctor that you have cancer. You only got a few months to live. Whatever the situation may be, know this. God is there for you. God's with you. We have a God that's with us, present 24 hours a day. He didn't just create and say, okay, I'll see you later. God created, and he's still here. He's here. Bow your heads with me as we close today. Heavenly Father, it's a three kind of simple things that Mary taught us about godliness that sometimes probably is hard for us to understand. And one thing that I will say, I love the fact that the country that I live in, that we're not persecuted for our faith. Now, we may be harassed, but we are not suffering persecution because of it. But Father, the most important thing that I need to cut across today is, as I said earlier, the whole Christmas story is about those who have not accepted you. And then the Christmas story is about those who have accepted you, about the greatest gift of all. So Father, my prayer is today, as many people maybe watch us on our streaming platforms, or the people that's sitting in this congregation today, that they have a decision to make. Again, as I said, Father, they can make that between you and them right now, in the privacy of them sitting right there in that chair. Now, granted, eventually, sometime, they need to make that decision public, but that's not necessary for their salvation. What's necessary is for them to make a decision about you. And help them do that right now, Father. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed, no one looking around, wondering what's going on, you pay attention to yourself. I'm going to get quiet and give you an opportunity just to meditate this morning. Okay, like I said, if you prayed that prayer, make sure you let someone know that you prayed that prayer. Before we dismiss in song this morning, Amber and Michael came to me, and we've been talking and going out to dinner and so on and so forth. Even though they love Georgia Bulldogs and I love Ohio State, I still love them dearly. At least their team's going to playoffs. Mine, I don't know what they're going to do this year, play Cotton Bowl, I guess, or something. I don't know where they're at. They've asked to join the church. They've both given their demonstration to me of their salvation and their baptism by submersion. And they're asked in the church, and they've submitted the paperwork and everything. It was we'll vote on tonight at the business meeting. But they've come forward to make that known publicly. Now, having said that, not to take anything away from them, but if there's anyone else that wants to do the same, in other words, wants to join the church, please come forward and we'll talk and I'll lead you down the path. Or if you made a confession of faith in Jesus and you want to know what's next, don't hesitate, come forward. But unless you guys got anything to say.
We're just grateful that God brought us here.
Amen.
We moved a long ways down here from Georgia and didn't really know where we was going to do and where we was going to go. But he always finds a way to put us where we need to be.
Amen.
Amen. We thank y'all for welcoming us the way y'all have.
Amen. If anything, you've got to give them credit for putting up with me. That's a big accomplishment in itself. So I'm going to ask them to stay up here if you don't mind. And then everybody, if you want to kind of welcome the church, if you don't mind, okay. Amber's, she's trying to act like she's bashful, and I know better, because when we're out eating, she's not quiet. But she's got that little grandbaby. Where are the little grandbabies at? Alan, it's stuck off. It's in the back somewhere?
It's upstairs.
Oh, it's upstairs. Okay, Gabe's got the grandbaby upstairs. Okay. Well, anyway, come forward. Ray's going to do the song to close us out today. Thanks for coming today. If you're visiting with us, come back and visit anytime. You got any questions, look in the communicator, and that'll give you the information you need to reach out to church. With that, Ray's going to finish with a song. Then if you don't mind, come forward and kind of welcome them to the house of the Lord, okay? Or to our church together.